Welcome to episode 135 of Practical Defense, Countering Foot Surveillance. Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you'll learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I'm your host, Alex Haddix. In this episode, we're going to look at countering foot surveillance. Basically, this is about what you can do if you think someone's following you while you're out walking about. This subject touches upon other subjects such as stalking, ambushes, and vehicle surveillance. However, those are topics under themselves and need to be covered separately to do them justice. But before we get into our topic this week, I have a few announcements. First, the bad news. I'm not going to hold any seminars this year. I've been trying to work them in, and I've had a bunch of emails over the past few months asking when I was going to update my schedule, but I came to the realization that they're just not going to happen this year. I'm too busy with projects and family, my master's program, and my own training to really get them going. Yes, for those that haven't already heard, I've been working my master's in adult education for a while, and I should finish next May. Some or most of the projects I'm working on should be done by the end of the year, so I expect to start running some seminars in 2011. And the good news is that I have a seminar to announce in January 2011. And of course, I'm talking about the Masada U Mag 20 seminar I'm hosting here in Los Angeles at the end of January. We're all set with the date, the times, and the location. It's a 2-day lecture on Saturday, January 29th and Sunday, January 30th. It's going to be held at the LAX Doubletree Hotel in the Pacific Palisades Conference Room. This is a 20-hour course, so it is a full 2 days. The subject is the Armed Citizens Rules of Engagement. This course will cover the rules of engagement for law-abiding private citizens, emphasizing legal issues, tactical issues, and aftermath management. When it comes to the subject matter, Mass is the go-to guy, so you'll be hard-pressed to find anyone more qualified. The sign-up page is up and online on my website, and the URL is www.alexhaddix.com/mag20. That's M-A-G-2-0. Now this coming weekend, Saturday, July 24th and Sunday, July 25th, my good friend and fellow reality base instructor Mike DeLeo is hosting an edged weapon seminar. Mike is bringing in Tom Sotis of Amok Edged Weapon Solutions for 2 seminars. The seminars will be held at the Los Alamitos Community Center. Now, Saturday, we'll cover accessing while under attack and edged weapons combat. Sunday, the subject will be managing chaotic knife attacks and practical disarms. Of course, I will put links in the show notes. And we'll be right back after the break. Welcome back. We'll begin our subject of countering foot surveillance with an email from a listener. Jessica from New York writes, "Hi Alex, I've been listening to your podcast for about a year now and enjoy your insights on the martial arts and gun use. I also find it comforting to know that the little things I've always done just aren't me being paranoid. I do, however, need your opinion on something. I live/work in the semi-urban towns outside of New York and I do a lot of walking. The issue is I work in a shady neighborhood and live in a not-so-shady one. I walk the 4 miles between and through 4 different towns to get back and forth, usually in the early a.m., 12 to 4 in the morning sometimes. I discovered a route through an affluent neighborhood next to a graveyard with poor to no streetlight. This route adds 0.5 mile, but it also circumnavigates the most seedy part of town I used to walk through. At first, I thought it was a good idea, but my mom was quick to point out that if it's dark, secluded, and I walk it regularly, I just put myself in a worse position. I argue that I run into no dubious clusters of guys on that route, and therefore it's safer. What do you think? Also, when I walk through urban areas, I wear big, obvious headphones but leave my player off. This way I can ignore catcalls by pretending not to hear them, while at the same time being aware of the sounds around me. Is this a good tactic, or am I making myself more of a target? Thanks so much for your time." Thanks for writing in, Jessica. I have to admit, my first thought when I read your email was, holy crap. This has got to be the most difficult email I have ever received because there is no right answer. In your situation, all you have is a selection of bad and worse options. I know it sounds encouraging. Let's start with the easy part of your question regarding whether or not to wear your headphones. I think you already know the answer because you mentioned it as an option in your message. Yes, wearing your headphones makes you more of a target, so ditch them. A criminal will see them and think you have voluntarily eliminated one of your best awareness tools, your hearing. In an early episode, I mentioned that listening to music while you're out walking or jogging is a horrible idea from a personal protection standpoint. You need all of your senses for awareness, and clogging one up of your most important is a horrible idea. So, no headphones, music or not. Okay, where to begin with your walking issues? You listed a few options in your message. A shorter route through a bad neighborhood where you've seen thugs, or a longer route through a better neighborhood with poor lighting. Both of these options are bad because they each pose significant risks. You need light to see, but you should also avoid a known bad element. Of the two options with the information presented, I think you're doing the right thing by taking the longer path and avoiding an obvious threat. I assume that if you could change your work hours, you would. Walking 4 miles between midnight and 4 a.m. alone through bad neighborhoods, or even good neighborhoods, is just a horrible idea. I would not recommend that for even a well-armed man. Now, honestly, it is just asking for trouble from anyone. That is a really quiet time of night when normal citizens are fast asleep. That leaves only people with bad intentions out. Anyone you come across during that time must be held in high suspicion. My sister-in-law had a similar work schedule. She didn't know how to drive, so she would walk 3 miles to work at 3 a.m. by herself. She even used to wear her iPod and listen to her music during her walk. I put her through my women's survival course, and she at least stopped using her iPod. She told me that the same guy had followed her on a few occasions and once even tried to talk to her. Fortunately, she quit that job before she got hurt. You should consider some mode of transportation. The best option here would be a car. It doesn't have to be a nice car. I'm talking about a $400 beater car here. It just needs to have doors that'll lock and an engine to get you to and from work. Bicycles, mopeds, and scooters will increase your speed, which is a good thing. The faster you move, the harder it will be to intercept you. However, it's not impossible to intercept you. Now remember back to the story I told you about my friend's son who was beaten and mugged while riding his bike home, drunk, from a party. Some thugs saw him coming and ambushed him. They just knocked him right over, he went unconscious, and they took his money. So an open vehicle like a bicycle gives you speed, but it offers no protection. A bicycle is far quieter than a moped, so you're less likely to draw attention to yourself. However, a moped can go a lot faster. You also need to consider that most cars on the road at that hour will be drunk drivers. So, like I said, there are no good options here, only a selection of bad ones. One thing I can recommend with certainty is that you should vary your pattern. You should do your best to avoid going through the same areas at the same time every day. Patterns make you predictable, and being predictable makes you vulnerable. If someone knows that you're going to be through this particular path between 1:30 a.m. and 1:45 a.m. every Tuesday morning, they can set a trap for you. So mix it up as best you can, but as safely as you can. I know times are tough, but I also recommend looking for other employment. A crappier job with better hours might be better for you in the long run. Here's a very blunt and graphic way of looking at it. How much money would you be willing to spend every month to avoid being raped or killed? Consider that in your wages or in the cost of a car. So, Jessica, I hope this helps you out some. I'm sorry I couldn't give you a definitive, do this and you'll be okay answer, but there are just none for your situation. Keep your awareness honed, and I really wish you the best. So now let's move on to the subject and discuss what you can do if you think someone's following you while you're on foot. I call this countering foot surveillance. Now, a lot of the techniques I'm going to bring up work both well as protection against criminal attacks and kind of spy stuff. You can use the same techniques employed by counter-espionage professionals to avoid and lose criminals tracking you for robbery or physical assault. Now, I learned most of these techniques from Jim Wagner, who has extensive counterterrorism and counter-espionage experience. So there are three basic types of criminal surveillance. There are the opportunists. Now, these are when criminals may not have planned a crime, but they see an opportunity to get something or hurt someone. This thug sees a soft target and has decided to take advantage of the situation, so they follow you for a bit until an opportunity presents itself. And then there are their stalkers. Now, this person is after you specifically. They know you and either want something from you or want you specifically. Now, most of these are former lovers, girlfriends, boyfriends, wives, husbands, but sometimes they can even be co-workers. More rarely, this person can be a fan or someone who became infatuated with you because of some post you made online. And then there are the planned attacks. This is when the criminal is following you to plan some sort of crime. This can be an attack against your home, your family, or even your place of business. This person wants to learn more about you and your habits so that they can prepare for something. This shows a high level of sophistication, and it makes them particularly dangerous. The first rule of counter-surveillance is not to be overt in your techniques. You don't want this person following you to know that you're being followed. The more information you can gather about them while they're trying to gather information about you, the better. If the criminal knows that you know you're being followed, this person will either initiate their attack or take better action to avoid being seen. You want to give up as little information as possible because this puts you in the driver's seat. Now, for these reasons and some others, you do not want to confront the person following you. It could be a very bad idea, and it could escalate the situation. What you need to do is you need to use your awareness skills, you know, the ones I constantly harp on about, to first detect the surveillance. And there are a few techniques that you can use to look around without looking around. So, in no particular order, stop, look, and listen. Use some excuse to stop, listen to movements, breathing, and look around. You can pretend to look at a tree, a sign, a wall display, just about anything. But again, just don't be overt. Look for anyone reading a newspaper or magazine. I know this is overplayed in movies, but it's a viable tactic and it is used to watch people. Stop abruptly and turn around. Again, use your environment as an excuse. Or you can pretend that you just remembered something and you just keep your head up like you're thinking and then you scan around. Look to see if anyone's watching you or following you. Use any and all reflective surfaces to your advantage. This means store windows, wall glass, television screens, mirrors on parked cars, even your cell phone screen. You can also take a quick backwards picture using the camera on your cell phone. Casually look around. Your cell phone's a great tool for this. Pretend to receive a phone call, stop, and pretend like you're talking to someone while you casually look around. Now, here are some indicators that someone might be following you. If someone reacts to your sudden stop and turn. If you stop to do something and someone mirrors your actions by stopping as well. If during one of your stop and turns, someone makes eye contact with you. If you speed up your pace and someone speeds up to match your new pace, they might be following you. If someone makes three turns with you, it's generally an indicator that someone's following you. And circle the block. If the person follows you all the way around the block, he or she is most likely following you. And here are some ways to burn or lose a follower. And again, this is for foot surveillance, not for vehicle surveillance. Make quick turns. Cross the street. Walk into an area that's crowded with people. Get lost in the crowd. Change your clothes. And by this I mean when you get a moment out of sight, take off or put on a jacket. Reverse a sweater. Put on or take off a hat. Duck into a building and leave by a different exit. Get on a bus or a taxi. Take these for a distance, then get off, and then do something else hidden and unexpected. For example, get off the bus and step into the first store and then exit out the back, then hail a taxi from a different street. And you want to avoid exposed areas and features like escalators. Then here are some general preventative measures. What you want to do, again, and I mentioned this before, and I mention it all the time, is change your daily routines. Patterns kill. This includes patterns at home and the office. Change when you leave for work. Change when you return home. Change your route to and from work, from the grocery store, and maybe even from the gym. Change where you eat lunch. Having a routine makes you predictable, and being predictable makes you a target. You always want to walk facing traffic. This will help being followed by a car when you're on foot. And always wear functional footwear. You want laced shoes with good traction. Ladies, this means no heels, and sandals don't count either. This is not quite a preventative measure, but it is a precautionary measure. If someone's stalking you or planning something, there are a few places that they're going to start their surveillance. The first, of course, is your home. If they know where you live, they'll just wait for you to come home, or leave for work, or run errands. The next place is your work. They'll pick you up at the office and follow you. If the person knows what your car looks like, or has your license plate number, he or she can stake out your car. Now, if you lose them, a common tactic is to fall back to your parked car and wait for you to return to it. If you're really being followed or stalked, get another ride home. Let your car sit overnight if you have to. If you have children, they may wait for you at your children's school when you come to pick them up or drop them off. Other locations to pick up your trail are your favorite places. These can include your favorite nightclub, your gym, your martial arts studio, your favorite park, or even your most common restaurants. The best way to protect against these types of things is to change your routine. You don't want them to know where you're going to be and at what time. So mix things up and do things at different times, and it will make them harder to pick you up. I'll pass on an interesting story that Jim Wagner told me. He was in Spain enjoying an afternoon cigar with a friend and colleague at a cafe. He wasn't too specific about what his friend did for a living, and with Jim, sometimes it's best not to ask. His friend noticed that a guy was checking them out, obviously keeping an eye on them. So they decided to make a game of it and see if the guy was really after them. Neither of them really felt threatened by a common criminal because they'd already identified him. So they paid their bill and they started walking down the street. It turns out the guy was following them. So they pulled a few moves and ducked into a small shop after turning a quick corner. They went to the back of the shop and they could look out through the front window, and they saw the guy that was following them come running around the corner, and he was obviously looking for them. About a minute later, three other guys showed up to talk to the guy, and they were making a lot of motions, and then all four of them split up and went in different directions at a slight jog. Now things had completely changed. What they thought was a lone guy, probably a street thug, turned out to be a member of a team of guys that were watching them. It was a lot more serious than they had imagined. So what they did was they spent the next hour using all of their evasion techniques and got out of that part of the city. And they never found out who those guys were or what they wanted, which might be a good thing. You know, I have the utmost respect for Jim Wagner. I love his training and his teachings. But, you know, with these stories that I hear from him, I'm not really certain I would ever want to travel with him. He has far too many interesting things happen to him. When I go on vacation travel, I like it nice and boring and safe. So the key here to avoiding and detecting surveillance is practice. These are some very simple skills in theory, but they're really hard to put into action. Incorporate these habits into your daily activities, and it will make you a much harder target.
Gun Rights Radio Network has the best pro-Second Amendment, pro-gun rights podcast available on the net. The podcasts are absolutely free when subscribing using iTunes or Zoom Marketplace. Or if you want, you can just listen from the website. Make sure you visit gunrightsradio.com to subscribe. Podcasting freedom, one episode at a time.
So, in summary, we have... There are three basic types of criminal surveillance. Opportunists, stalkers, and planned. We went over some ways to reveal if someone's following you. We also went over some methods to burn or lose a follower. And we covered some methods to reduce your chances of being followed. And you must practice these techniques and incorporate them into your daily activities. They may sound simple, but they're not easy to do. If you take nothing else away from this episode, please at least take two key points with you. You must maintain your awareness if you ever want to even discover you're being followed. You need to know that you're being followed in order to lose the person. And patterns kill. You must avoid falling into habits and predictable patterns. Change your times, change your paths, change where you go and what you do. As always, don't forget that we have a 20% discount on subscriptions to Taekwondo Times magazine. Just enter our exclusive promo code of PRACDEF01 at checkout. The subscription to the print edition of the magazine includes digital copies as well. You can find the promo code and a link in the show notes. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexaddix.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe.
Tom Gilmore lives on a farm. There's a storm on the way, so he's boarding up the windows of his house.
Haley Williams lives in an apartment. It's a beautiful day. She's making her usual monthly donation to the American Red Cross.
Tom doesn't know a tornado will leave his family with no place to go.
Haley doesn't know her gift will help give Tom's family shelter.
When you support the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your area.
Practical Offense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, commentary, and topic suggestions, send an email to podcast@alexaddix.com. That's podcast@alexaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexaddix.com.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.